Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky, and welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today I have C.J. Kramer, or Hananya, depending on how he wants to be called. How are you? How's everything?
Good, Baruch Hashem. Thanks for having me on.
That's great to hear that. Okay, so now you've got this nice company, which is a media company, multimedia, right? Colrum Multimedia?
That's correct.
And I guess you don't make a living from doing what we're going to talk about, but it was really funny anyway. So in this coming edition of the Jewish Action coming up in July, the summer edition, maybe it's coming out before July of 2013, we're doing a whole thing on comedy and humor and Jewish humor. And obviously what you've done is really interesting. So why don't you tell the listening audience a little bit? I'm sure some people have seen it because there's no question about it. But why don't you tell them about what you really did?
Okay, sure. We were working on one of the educational projects that we were working on was about the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. And it was really intended as an instructional video hosted by Rabbi Pesach Kron, who happens to also be my father-in-law.
And, oh, that I didn't know. Okay.
So I've done a whole bunch of educational projects with him. We've done one on the wonders of the human body, and we did one on the mitzvah of Mea Brachas, and I do a lot of production work for his different trips that he takes to Eastern Europe and tried to send along a cameraman. So I have, Baruch Hashem, I have opportunities to do a lot of great work with him. And this particular project, these are sponsored nonprofit projects, just because it seemed like a good public service to help educate the community of how best to achieve this mitzvah that all children learn about in school, yet it's really for adults, and it can be pretty awkward, and it's difficult, and people don't always say the right thing or do the right thing. So the idea was we would interview many different rabbanim and community leaders to talk to them about what the best approach is, and it was from a very practical standpoint. And what we were finding was, as in many things in life, a lot of this is really common sense and what not to do. And as the list grew more and more, and you heard from these different community activists or leaders or rabbanim, and you hear these kind of horror stories about people who do quite frankly really silly things when they are well-meaning. The list grew. The comedy routine kind of wrote itself. Because it became a list of these are the ridiculous stories of things that people did. So it got to a point where we figured, okay, we need to turn this into a sketch because it was just funny.
I saw it. I'm sure. How many people actually got to watch this, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's funny. It's the world of YouTube now. You know, you put something up there, and this was just this one little sketch that's much part of a much bigger educational project. But it was just a matter of those first few days that tens of thousands of people go and take a look at something. I don't even know where it's up to, probably 60,000, 70,000. But it's just amazing. You know, no promotion. It's not like it was nobody was pushing it. It was, I leaked it to a couple of friends who thought they might get a kick out of it.
But you posted it on YouTube.
Yeah, I posted it up on YouTube. If anyone goes to YouTube now, you search for Bikur Cholim, however you want to try to spell it, I think you'll hit it pretty quickly. It's the clip is how not to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim.
Right, absolutely, which is interesting because in a way, I mean, when you speak to most people and you ask them, well, how do I do this mitzvah, they usually start off with, well, here's what you shouldn't do. And then by watching it, you really get a good idea of what you shouldn't do. And, I think that the humor is really makes it good. Well, have you done other things also that have been kind of humorous or are they mostly educational?
Sure, over the years, I love doing humor when we get the opportunity. The audience might have seen some of the work we've done for Ura over the years. For years, we were working on these green screen children's stories called The Mushel Man, which that was also that was a full cast production. Where it was all with professional actors, and it's also a children's comedy, and we've done work with OHEL, Children's Services, and there was opportunity there to do some humor over the years. I love it. It's just the truth is it's hard. I think it was Woody Allen who one time said it, like, dying is easy, humor is hard.
I got you. Okay.
I get to do a lot of, because, the film work that we do that's tear jerkers to raise money are frankly easier to produce than in humor. Humor is hard.
So you do a lot of work co-run, then basically, if an organization is going to have their dinner or they're going to have a fundraiser or they're going to do something, then they'll call someone like you, and then you'll get the story down. You'll do the video and interview the people and put it together so that when they have their dinner, the people are going to cry like crazy and raise a lot of money, right?
Yeah. Is
that, that's the idea, right? I mean, basically, you know, like hit them where it hurts, right?
I mean, I don't want to limit it to that. You know, we got to Baruch Hashem this past year. We got to do the Siyum Hashas. We did all the film work for that event.
Oh, you did that, really?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I guess you could have probably done like how to not do a Siyum Hashas or something like that. That would have been quite great, you know. I think I could help you in that, by the way. If you ever want any help, by the way, I'd be happy to do that one. How not to do the Siyum Hashas, you know? That would be interesting. Have people sniffing the dogs instead of dogs sniffing the people, you know, all kind of stuff. it would be interesting. It had to be a fantastic event. There's no question about it. And is it over, by the way, now, or is it still going on?
Well, the Siyum Hashas.
I was just kidding. It lasted forever, so, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. The speeches are still going on.
No, I mean, but it was really interesting to me. I mean, the Siyum Hashas, it was fabulous. I mean, just to be there, the ruach, the electricity, was unbelievable. But, you know, for me, it was really interesting for me because I think I just finished saying Kaddish for my mother. But during that time, I was in Ovel. So, you know, I had this thing like, wow, this is good. I already daven mincha early because I figured, you know, I'll daven mincha early and then I'll get there. So no matter, even if I have traffic, I don't have to worry. But Marv, it's going to be unbelievable, you know? And after around 11 o'clock, 11:30, I said, I can't stay anymore. So I had to go into the hall and I had to basically grab 10 people on the way out, you know, begging them, could you please daven Marv with me? And there I was, like, I felt like I was in, Yankee Stadium or in City Field, you know, like, and I'm going, like, this is the Siyum Hashas. What am I doing? I thought I was going to daven Marv with 80,000 people, you know, so.
Well, anyway, you know, if you just wait a couple more hours, you know, till whatever it was.
This is true, you're right, but first of all, it was hard to wait, and second of all, by that time, I don't know if there was a minion left. So, you know, I'm just kidding. Okay, just kidding. But it was great.
No,
it was
a particular piece, we got to, I mean, we were filming for 15 months or so prior to that. We went to 54 cities to film the Daf Yomi Shiurim. I even got to interview Rabbi Elephant and Rabbi Weil.
Right, I know. I saw them on the video. Did you go to Lublin also? Was that part of your thing?
I didn't do the Lublin trip, but although I sent a cameraman with my father-in-law in previous years. We were able to get some footage from there. Yeah.
Well, that's great. What else is on the agenda? I mean, this one was great. You know how not to do Bikur Cholim. I know there have been a lot of others, but they not necessarily have been yours, correct?
Yeah, I think right afterwards there were some. I'd like to think they're spinoffs. You know, it's the finest form of flattery. But there was a how not to do a shiva that followed, and there were some other funny ones like of that ilk. It's great. You know, I got so many comments of hey. You should do one about how not to do a shiva. And frankly, I was just hesitant to produce it because I just, you know, I thought somehow Bikur Cholim is a little bit, safer. You know?
This is true.
With
all
this humor, you know, you always push that envelope a little bit. You don't want to, a Jewish humorist, I think, you know, in our frum community has a bigger challenge than humor in the outside world where you can push that envelope and be more risque and just kind of do whatever you need to do to make people laugh. And here we're always tempering it with some kind of the positive nature of what we're doing and harmlessness. It ain't so easy.
Like you're always one step away from somebody saying, we have to put you in harem or something like that.
That's right. I'm not looking forward to having the posters written about me.
Then there goes the shidduchim and everything else. And
that's yeah, that's right.
Your poor kids are going to say, Dad, what are you crazy? What are you doing that for? It doesn't make any sense. But it was funny, I have to tell you. So what, you got any others on tap that you're going
to
be
doing? Well, you know, right now we're looking to, my father-in-law and I would like to do one on the mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim because that's another one of those mitzvahs that all children learn about, but really gets very, a lot of hadracha and instruction and advice that's necessary for people, especially living in the sandwich generation, as you know, Baruch Hashem, people are living longer. And I could see some potential there for some.
Especially if you do something like with the elderly. I mean, like if you deal, because people talk to me about this all the time about how, what's my responsibility to my aging parents, my elderly parents? I mean, you know, how far does Kibud Av Aim go, and what am I supposed to do, what am I not supposed to do? So imagine if you did one like how to not do, you know, Kibud Av Aim for your elderly parents. It would be
done delicately, but I think it could be done. I think there's another one also that someone just recently gave me the idea, and I'm really fascinated by it. You know, there's yeshiva guys have a rough time. It's a tough job market for everybody, but certainly the yeshiva community that may not have the education that's going to give them that leg up, so they have to go on job interviews, and they need help to know how to do a job interview properly. you know, just because it's their for some of these guys, it's their first exposure to that world, and they could really use some of that direction. And that's that, I think, is a good topic for to poke fun at what not to do or what not to say.
You know, that's a great idea. You know, we do a lot at the OU. We have an OU job board, and we do a lot of that. Besides getting jobs for people, we have resume writing and interviewing skills and things like that. You know, so you know, that would be that would be an interesting one to do, a real interesting one to do.
Yeah. So just to be clear, so the OU is going to sponsor this next project.
You know, we're just talking about it now on the on our website. So we're saying, you know, it sounds like something that we could do. Maybe I'll talk to some people about. I mean, it's
it would be
pretty interesting because, as I said, you know, we do this. I mean, you know, on a serious basis, because you're right. Most people don't know how to. They don't know how to dress. Even they don't know how to answer questions. You know, they've never been exposed to it before. And unfortunately, sometimes also, you know, in what we have today in our economic system, in our Jewish world, the firm world. You have a lot of people who are going out on interviews. They're 27, 28, 29, 30, even more. And they're competing with, like, young people who are just getting out of college or graduate school. And, you know, they have a competitive disadvantage. So, you know, it's not so easy for them. So, you know, that's a pretty good idea. I really like that. So Jewish humor, I mean, you know, I think we're seeing more of that today. We're seeing more comedians and other people who are actually in the frum world or Bali Tshuva who are now stand-up comedians. Have you seen any of them at all?
I have seen some of them, and as I was mentioning beforehand, I just find it to be a particularly challenging... I mean, I applaud it. I would love to see more quality humor in the Jewish sphere. I think we need it as the community in general becomes more savvy, and you want to have alternatives from within the community rather than always looking out. But it's rough. It's rough to find that exact balance and be able to just be edgy enough to work for the crowd, but not to go over the line. Well, at least that's from where I sit. You know, I'm the guy who's always nervous of pushing too hard.
Well, no, were there some people actually who thought you pushed a little bit too hard? I mean, no matter what you do in life, and your thing was great, by the way, but I'm sure you got some negative, right?
Oh, well, you know, of course, there's always going to be some. I mean, you have to learn how to have a little bit of thick skin in this business, I suppose. Anything in the public.
So what, the people who are complaining, like the people who thought you went too far, why did they think you went too far?
Look, I live in a world of, in my world of production, since I'm kind of the right end of the spectrum of my clientele. So, of course, I have an entire mass of people who don't like video at all, right? So everything I do is automatically trace. You know, to a point, and it's a question of shades of what level do I get? You know, at what point does it become kosher? If you know, if there's a pop culture reference in something that I've done, that will offend some people, and I have to be careful. I mean, I will be careful. It's a judgment call. That's really what it is.
But the one you did on the Beaker Cholim, I mean, you know,
Beaker Cholim was pretty safe. You know, it was pretty safe. If you know. I just remember one of the actor. This was a very funny guy. The two I should mention, by the way, the two actors.
Yeah, they were great. They were great.
Oh, they're just super talented guys. One of the guys' names is Shmop Weisbord. Shmop is a nickname, really, but that's kind of his handle. And from Baltimore, and then there's Mich Cohen from Brooklyn. And these two guys, they're just wonderful improv comedians. And we had this list of all the things that the Rabbanim said, which they just kind of turned around and made it into their jokes. But, you know, when Shmop Weisbord made a reference to, I think, a flux capacitor, you know, being in there. And if you don't know what a flux capacitor is, you didn't see Back to the Future, then you know, it doesn't bother you. And if it does, so then it's not going to probably be the kind of person that's going to give a mekamacha.
The thing that's interesting about it is that I read that the whole thing, like, the whole shoot was about 90 minutes, and then from there you just edited it down, and that was it, one take, and we're basically finished, right?
Yeah, I have learned already that if you can find actors that are really good at the improv comedy, and they don't need, and the truth is they really are not best scripted, these kinds of actors, so then it's just a question of coming prepared with all the raw content and just sit and work it through. You know, you can't, it's too hard to script, whereas when I've worked with other actors that are screen actors or they're theater actors, and they only work well when they are very, very directed. You know, they need to have a clear script and a direction. Then it's all about having it all clearly defined in advance. And then it's up to the writers. I mean, the writers, you know, who are not working with the actors when they're writing their comedy, they got to really understand comedic timing and be able to get it. And that's hard work. But, you know, that's the difference, I think, in the two different kinds of production styles.
Did you hear from people who sent you letters or emails or called you and said, you know, because of this, now I know what to do. And now it was instructive to me, and I'm going to be different when I pay a Bikur Cholim visit. I'm going to understand a little bit more what I should be doing and not to do, you know?
Absolutely. It was the most gratifying thing to find out that this was actually an educational tool that worked in the right capacity. But I will tell you that even more than the people who said that they learned something, I've got an overwhelming number of people who have been sick who said that this video may help them last through the difficult times where people do well-intentioned stupid things. They just don't know what to say, and they say the wrong thing because they feel like they have to talk, and that gave them a chizik, you know, when they're watching this and they're seeing, okay, right. You know, people are human and they do dumb stuff, and they felt validated, those feelings. So that really was a very nice thing.
Right. You know, I used to ask people all the time who were, let's say, people who unfortunately sat Shiva, you know, I would ask them maybe a week or two after they got up from Shiva, I would say to them, could you just tell me the one dumbest thing that somebody said to you? You know, and they would always like look at me first, and then they'd start to laugh. And it was just to see them laugh and smile, it was really great. And then they would always tell me something that somebody said or somebody did. You know, well-intentioned people, but, you know, I mean, I think it would really push the envelope too much about that. But really, I mean, I think it was really educational. And I know people who told me that, you know, now when they make a Bikur Cholim call, they think about what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So humor is a great way. And listen, I think it's been great. We're going to write up a little article about you and talk about what you're doing. Kolaram Multimedia, a multi-talented company, with CJ Hananya over here. And listen, thanks for coming on the program. I'm sure people are now going to go back and watch the YouTube again, because they probably haven't seen it in a while. And just go YouTube, go to Bikur Cholim. And also, guys, by the way, out there, if you really want some really good stuff, tearjerkers. I mean, Hananya sounds like he's the right kind of guy to make you cry or make you laugh. So how do they get in touch with you, by the way?
And I will also say, like, animation's becoming hot now also, and that's good. Where also I think we can do a lot of humor now. Animated.
So let me ask you, so how do people get in touch with you? What would they do?
The best thing is just go to the website. All the information is there, kolaram.com, kolrom.com.
Terrific. Well, listen, keep up the great work, okay? Nice talking to you. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye.
You too. Be well. Bye-bye.